Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
White House National Economic Council. Thank you, Andrew. Andrew, did you read the really good interview, Mary O'Grady interview of Thomas Hoenig in the Journal today? It's a long interview. It's very good.
I haven't seen that piece, but I've seen what he's been saying, Larry. And first of all, it's great to talk to you again.
Well, it's always great to have you. It's always great to. For folks who don't know, Andrew was by my side during the Trump years, giving great advice on all manner of domestic and economic policy. Well, so Andrew, he makes two points, and they're really germane to this business about Silicon Valley and First Republic, and in general. Banks and regulations and supervision. But he said, look, the original sin is inflationary policies, which drove up interest rates. But then he goes on to say that the regulations have risk-weighted capital, but they did not have duration risk-weighted capital. So you own these long bonds, right, 10-year bonds, yep. Mortgage-backed securities. And, you know, they can't stop out the fluctuations. And, I mean, I think that's a very important part of the story, right?
Yeah, well, so the first point, I think, is the one I'll only start with, which is when the Fed has to raise interest rates at a fast clip, which it's had to do over the last year, it creates a lot of secondary effects and problems for the economy. And one of them is that it can have an adverse impact on the banking system by reducing kind of the value of a lot of their assets. This is the exact same phenomenon we saw during the S&L crisis in the 80s when, as you remember, Volcker had to raise interest rates substantially. I think there were over 18% on short-term rates to combat a really severe inflation problem. That put a lot of the S&Ls underwater in their solvency, and it caused a decade-long crisis called, you know, the S&L crisis that had a really bad impact on the U.S. economy for a long time. So this risk has been known. It's a common one out there. So it's not surprising that it eventually shows up in the balance sheets of banks. The thing that more strikes me is this is a classic safety and soundness issue that examiners for banks have historically been aware of. And it'll be interesting to see as Congress starts to investigate this to learn a little bit more about why this risk wasn't identified. Now, I'd also just note on this point, because I think it's a key one, Larry, is that, well, this is why we want to have the Fed committed to price stability.
Right.
And as you know, we talk about this, is there's been this talk about, you know, maybe inflation, we can tolerate higher levels of inflation, we can experiment around inflation, and that the Fed doesn't have to be vigilant. Well, this should be a reminder of why price stability is essential, is because by allowing inflation to get out of control, even moderately as we have now, it requires the Fed to raise interest rates much higher than it otherwise would need to combat that inflation, and it causes a whole secondary effect, including putting a lot of strain on our banking system.
Andrew, there's another one, too. How about we spend less federally?
How about
that one?
Right. And so if you have a better budget policy, that also puts downward pressure on rates and makes it easier for the Fed to combat inflation as well. So I totally agree.
I mean, it's like Joe Biden picked us off. So he comes in, the inflation rate's a little over 1%. It winds up going to 9+. It's still around 6. So these interest rates go from 0 to 5. The 10-year note goes from like 1% plus, you know, to almost 5%. Yep. He's like, of course there's going to be a problem. There has to be a problem because at some point you got to mark to market the assets that even aren't scheduled to be marked to market unless you want to run on the bank.
Well, and the real irony actually here, Larry, is that the Fed itself is having a problem with this. You know, it used to be able to send a lot of money to the Treasury Department because of the senior age it creates, but because of its own balance sheet now kind of flipping because of the changes in interest rates, it's not able to do that anymore. So the Fed itself is experiencing the kind of financial stress or financial changes as a result of this sharp increase in interest rates.
Well, by the way, on that point, that's a great point.
Yeah, right?
Because if you mark to market the Fed's portfolio, which is still around $9 trillion, guess what? They're underwater. They're underwater. I've seen the work. So I wouldn't put my money at the Fed.
So they're well aware of this. This is a risk that's pretty out there. And listen, there's going to be a lot of discussions about kind of exactly what happened here. And in my view, what should happen is that this is where Congress comes in. Congress can do the examination. It's the responsible for oversight, and have them come in and examine where the breakdown was. And you know, and also we have to remember that banks are always susceptible to runs, and that's just inherent in the bank, the model of banks, and that's why we have the FDIC to come in and resolve banks that get into trouble. That's why we have the Federal Reserve to provide liquidity to solvent banks in times of market stress. That's why we have all three of the banking regulators to make sure that they have good prudential regulations, to make sure that banks operate within reasonable risk parameters. You know, I'm as free market as you are, Larry, but we all know when it comes to banks, banks are just different, and they require a real serious regulatory regime.
You don't think this is 2008, do you?
No.
Neither do I.
It shouldn't be. It shouldn't be.
Yeah, the Fed lending facility is pretty good. Andrew Allman, everybody, my old pal from the NEC in the White House, one of the best regulatory people around. Thank you, Andrew. Take care.
Thanks, Larry.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. Other side of the break, John Carney of Breitbart's going to come in. Is there a bigger recession risk now because of these West Coast banks?